Welcome, if you just joined us watching live. Slightly different order of service this morning. We've already had our communion. So if you want to have communion at the end, that's great. We've had ours. Hallelujah. Amen. Just opening up the blinds. Let some more light in. Hallelujah. Let's pray while Nancy's doing the blinds. That is there for a purpose. So leave that there. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our worship this morning. We thank you in the partaking of communion. We thank you for all that you have done for us, Father. We thank you for all that you've said to us already this morning. We thank you for the scripture that's been read, the biblical account that's been spoken of. Thank you for the way you've been speaking to us through the worship. Hallelujah. And now we thank you, Father, that we've come to gather around your word, come to focus on your scripture, come to focus on what you have spoken directly to us through the saints that wrote these words. We thank you for them, Father. Thank you for the impact that these words will have on our lives. Thank you for the seeds that we're about to sow. So we speak out understanding so these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that we can keep those seeds. The seeds will grow. Seeds will produce the fruit that we desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I start, I forgot to ask a favor of you. And if anyone's listening who's going to be here in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I need a couple of volunteers to come in 3 weeks' time to set out the chairs, help Nancy lift the piano, because I ain't going to be here. And I'm the muscle in this partnership. 20th of August. Excellent. Thank you. So it's just to set out the chairs. I'm not going to be here, so you can set them out any way you like. If I'm here, they've got to be right. But if I'm not here, yeah, you can sit on. Take a beanbag, Josh. Take a beanbag on the 20th of August. Sit wherever you want. I saw something, Josh, you might really like. It was on Facebook. It was the top 15 Amazon purchases this week. And the best one was a human-sized dog bed that you'll get in your. It's not for a big dog. It's for yourself. No, just yourself, Carol. Just yourself, Carol. Have you shown Carol pictures of Crosby? I'll do that later. We've got a dog in the family now, Carol. Yeah. But thankfully, it's in Australia. No, hallelujah. It's not an hour. Anyway, lesson 11. We are in lesson 11. How many do you think it's going to get to this time, Pauline? 40s maybe? Will I break 50? I don't know. Week 11 of Simply Jesus. I'm highlighting encounters from the life and ministry of Jesus. Simply looking at Jesus. See what he says, see what he does, see what it means for us. See what he's telling us today. Because the great thing about this word is, yeah, this was written in the context of 2,000 years ago, 3,000, 4,000, however many thousand years ago. But it was written to us as well. It's still relevant today. I preached on that up once, didn't I? It is so relevant today. It's culture that needs to change to the word, not the word that needs to change to culture. It's relevant. And as I said, I'd not planned it. I hadn't sat down and planned it. But I'm coming mainly from John. Well, let's admit it, solely from John. And majoring on the fact, you're going to be fed up with me saying this by the time this, Jesus came to end religion. Have I said that over the last couple of weeks? Came to bring relationship, came to do away with religion, came to bring us back into personal fellowship with the Father, because that's the way this earth was designed. Personal fellowship with the Father. We mucked it up, Jesus got it back. Hallelujah. John 1:17 kind of sums up everything that I'm kind of talking about over the last few weeks. For the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Law given by Moses, of man. This is a picture of religion. But Jesus came to bring something different. And it wasn't religion, because it was himself. He came as. He didn't come to bring grace and truth. Read that. He didn't come to give us this thing called grace and truth. He came as grace and truth, and to bring us back into relationship. Marvelous. Now, as I'm going through John, I'm kind of a bit uncertain if it's my mindset is now reading the words, as in I am looking for typology, I'm looking for the end of religion, or is it a direct revelation? Maybe it's a bit of both. But as I'm rereading John, as I'm studying through this Gospel of John, everything I've seen is about ending religion. And new insights. I mean, there was the ones that I've always known. Turning water into wine. Desecrating the ritual purified water jar. People couldn't use those jars anymore for their ritualistic washing because he desecrated them. Why? You don't need them. You might as well just take a hammer and smash them up. You don't need them anymore. Religion is ended. Turning over the tables, driving all the sacrificial animals out, driving the people out of the temple. He's saying, you don't need them anymore because there's no more sacrifices after my one. No more religion, just me. The Samaritan woman at the well, highlighting how inclusive real Christianity is, how exclusive religion is. Healing the chap at the pool of Bethesda. You don't need to struggle and put an effort to get into the water. I'm here. No more religion. Relationship with me, that's now what counts. Last week, love it. Disciples in the boat. Was that last week? Yeah. Seems ages ago. Disciples in the boat. Reaching safety, immediately he went into the boat. Picture of our salvation, but also a picture of the end of religion. Your efforts, even the expert sailors, fishermen, even their efforts was a waste of time. Own efforts to reach salvation, to reach safety, were just a waste of time. The only thing that was required, all that they needed was to have Jesus in the boat with them. And immediately, they're saved. Jesus with them, relationship safe. Relationship, not religion. So I skipped onto that last week because I was so excited about that. And then he came in the boat. I skipped over feeding the 5,000. But I said I'd go back. So I'm back to feeding the 5,000 this week. And I've read this so many times and taught it so many times. But guess what the first thing was I saw when I read the account this week? Yeah, what typology? It's the end of religion. Amazing. Would you believe that? It's a picture that there's no effort required to receive from God. No works needed. That's what jumped out at me. Now, when I was sitting there yesterday, I thought, in case anybody's new watching or you're confused, let me define what religion is. I keep saying Jesus came to end religion. What is religion? Religion, the way I see it, is the personal effort of man to come to God. It's all about what you do. It's all about your works. And it's about coming to God, to be accepted by God, to receive from God. You know, there are certain religions. If you don't pray in a certain way for a certain amount of times every day, you get nothing. You have to wear this, you have to wear that, you have to cut your hair, you have to grow your hair, you have to not have a beard, you have to have a beard, you have to wear cotton. Not, it's just so confusing. That's all about what you do to receive from God. But now people, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that is not necessary. All that working, it's not necessary. We come to God. We are accepted by God. We receive from God because of what Jesus did and our faith in that. When I say you need to do nothing, you need to do one thing. Believe. Believe, have faith in Jesus Christ. He's in the boat, you're at the other side. And what's on the other side? Healing, prosperity, salvation, acceptance, deliverance, joy, peace, wholeness. It's all at the other, it's all there. And the second he's in the boat, you're there. No efforts, no works, no nothing. So we no longer have to rely on our efforts, our own works to receive. But that's what religion tells you. That is what religion will tell you. And in that sense, religion should be dead. Religion died with Jesus. Or it should have done. But I don't know about you guys, religion is alive and well and kicking. Unfortunately. Okay, let's see another account where religion shows us religion is dead. John 6, and I'll read from verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Excuse me. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread. That's a lot of money back then. It might be 2 quid. No, it's a lot of money back then. 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. See, I just noticed, see, even the disciples at this point are not thinking big. They're not thinking, how can we satisfy these people? Even at this point, it's how can we just get a little bit of bread? There's a picture in there. Think big, folks. Don't think, oh, I just want a little bit of bread. Think, I want to be stuffed, packed, full. I want to be satisfied. We'll talk about that. That's another message. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Another doubt and unbelief. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. That Nunzi made a great point on Thursday. Why was there any fish left? Don't know. There you go. I got no revelation on that, but I'll think about it. But so I've got lots of other stuff for the message today. Don't even have to worry about that. So this is an account we are all very familiar with. Preached on it many times, but and there are so many obvious things in here. This is a wonderful example of his abundance and his bountiful provision. An amazing miracle. Feeding so many with so little. Remember, it's only the men. Puff your chest out here, guys. It was only the men that counted. It was only the men that were counted. 5,000 men. But there would have been women, wives, children there as well. So, I mean, even 5 loaves and 2 fishes for 5,000 is pretty impressive, eh? But there would have been 3 or 4 times the amount of people. Families would have been there. So it's probably more like 15 or 20,000. All satisfied. The word kind of means gorged and full. What I'm like when I come out of a Chinese buffet restaurant. I'm normally satisfied there. That's what this means. They were full. They were happy. All satisfied with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. With more left over. More than he started with. 5 loaves, barley, they were small as well. They were more like butteries, rolls, softies. They were that kind of size. They weren't big tiger baguettes. No, they were small loaves. Yeah, out of that, five small loaves, two small fishes. Everyone was satisfied, thousands of people, and 12 baskets full. So they finished with more than they started with, and everybody was sad. That's a picture of his provision. There's infinite provision for all of us, and loads left. I know the math doesn't work out, Josh. I know. How can everybody have an infinite amount of what they need, and there still be more than infinity left over? Yeah, but what's greater than infinity? Infinity. So I told you the maths don't add up. But what a picture of our God. Our God is a God of abundance and provision and excess. We don't just exist. We're here to live. Zoe, and live in abundance, John 10:10. We're not just here to get by, to exist. He doesn't just provide us just to get by. That's a selfish way of living. If you're just wanting to get by, where's all the stuff to give? I've told you this before. I want to have masses and masses of money. There you go, you can snip that. For the purpose of giving. To change Karamuru. You know, to change Andhra Pradesh, to change India. Our God is a God of abundance and provision and excess, providing all we need and then some. Never think small with God, because he can give you all you need and then some. I just love that. And of course, if it's a picture of blessing what you have and using it, it's about not despising the small things. Or not despising what seems to be small things. What the heck are we going to do with five loaves and two fishes, Jesus? How can we use such little to do a great thing? This is a picture of that. Taking something small, or that looks small, insignificant in the physical, and doing something absolutely amazing with it. That's a picture for us all. This was one of the accounts when I was really starting to ponder over Tikkun Olam in India. You know, giving small amounts of money in our eyes, in our economy, giving it to a family or a lady or a bloke in India, and then doing great things with it. One of the highlights for me last time when we went to India was going up to Madra, seeing Pastor Rayo. And I've listed them, seeing the barber, seeing the bike repair shop, seeing the food stall, seeing the drink stall, seeing the bag shop, seeing the tuk-tuk driver, seeing the sari sellers, seeing the paper plate maker, seeing the wifey with her goats. They're probably eaten by now. The good thing is you can fatten up the goats, sell two goats, and buy another four. But seeing what a small amount in our eyes, seeing the huge difference to families it can do over there. And that's what this is a picture of. Taking something really small, what seems insignificant, blessing it, not cursing it. You know, why have I got so little, Lord? What on earth? Why have I got hardly anything? I can barely do anything with this. No, what you have in your hand, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. I bless it. I'm going to use it. That's the first stage of doing great things. Blessing what we have, even if it seems insignificant, and then using it. That's what Jesus did. Some of the people, I imagine them all sitting down there, or being told to sit down, and the disciples telling them to sit down, and Jesus standing there with five batteries and a couple of mackerel, sardines. Yeah, imagine that. You could probably have got them in one hand. One or two hands, maybe, let's be. Two hands, five wee loaves, and two small fishes. You can just imagine the disciples, you know. I'm just looking at Jesus holding the stuff going down. He's gone mad this time. I mean, he's really gone mad this time. I mean, what can you do with five loaves and two fishes? I could eat that in one sitting. Me, I could. Maybe that's what the disciples were thinking. That'll probably do for me. Yeah, five batteries and two small fish, I wouldn't be satisfied, Carol. I wouldn't be gorged. I could eat that at one. I could eat that at one sitting, but try and feed thousands, Jesus. Really? This is just lunacy. No, it's not. Because he blessed it, he used it, and it was more than enough. That's a picture for what we've got. You spoke this morning, how powerful we are. The God of the universe that did that is inside you. I was going to say, what's your excuse? I'll say, what's our excuse? What's our excuse? We haven't got an excuse. King of the universe, in us. It, bless it. Use it. What an encouragement that can be. What else is it? It's a picture of the church today. I'm getting on to the end of religion. I'm building up for that. It's a picture of the church today. Did Jesus dish out the bread and the fish? Did Jesus give it to the people? Who gave it to the people? The disciples. In this account, the people were seated. Jesus blessed the food and gave what he had to his disciples, and then they gave it to the people in need. Yeah? The disciples were his feet on the ground. The disciples were his hands. They distributed to the people in need what he had provided. It's a picture of the church. It should be a picture of the church. That's a picture of us. We know what he's done for mankind. We know what he's provided for mankind. We are now his feet on ground. We are now his hands. And we're the ones that need to distribute his provision, his goodness, his mercy, his compassion, his love. Tell him about salvation. Tell him about his righteousness. We are to show his abundance and his provision to a needy world. Back in this account in John 6, the people were hungry. Yeah? People were hungry and needed food. They were in need. Jesus provided for the need. The disciples dished it out. That's us. That's a picture of the church, or what the church should be. We are his disciples, yes? Do you agree you're what, his disciple? He has provided all we need. Do we agree he's provided all the world needs? Well, we need to give it to them. That's what this is a picture of. And last but not least, it's a picture of the end of religion. See, this account tells us that receiving from Jesus, receiving from God, has nothing to do with our own efforts. Not a thing. When we study this account, we more often than not look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? That's really important. We see him blessing the food. We see him giving it to the disciples. We see him multiplying things beyond measure so that everyone can be filled. We often study this account and we look at the disciples, like I've just did. The disciples distributed what Jesus gave them. It's a picture of the church. But for the rest of the message today, I want to look at what the people did. And I'll just tell you straight away what they did. They did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's like the end of the message, but I'll drag it out a bit. They sat down and they received. That's it. End of story. They did nothing else. You know, I've read this account a few times. Can you see that they did nothing? In terms of the food preparation, who did the work? Jesus Christ. In terms of the food distribution, who did that? Disciples. The people did nothing. Even after the meal, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments. Who did the tidying up and the washing up? The disciples. What did the people do? Stuff themselves. No efforts, no work. You know where I'm going. In terms of food preparation, in terms of food distribution, in terms of tidying up, in terms of washing up. Coming to that, they had to have faith. They had to expect. But in terms of doing work, in terms of doing effort, they did zippo. Nothing. Not a shred of work. Not a shred of effort. In receiving the food from the disciples that Jesus had provided, they did no work. No effort. Jesus didn't say, right, guys, you need to tidy up. You need to set out the chairs. You need to peel the tatties. You need to, you need to break up the bread, break up the fish, eat what you want, and pass it on to somebody else. Nothing. They did nothing. They simply received. And that's a picture, of course, of our relationship with the Lord. No effort, no work required to receive from him, because he's already done all the work. He's supplied up the fish. Now got 50,000 worth of fish, 100,000 worth of barley loaves. That's a lot of barley. No effort, no work to receive by the people, because all the work was done by Jesus in terms of provision. And then distribution was the disciples of the church. They didn't have to do any works. Now, of course, I'm not telling you don't do good works. That's not what I'm saying. But they come from receiving, not to receive. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. We use this sometimes for offerings, that passage. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you as you work. Is that what it says? No. It says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Look at the order. Look at the order of this. God makes grace abound towards us. We have more than enough. We give. It's not the other way around. We give, we do stuff, and then God rewards us. Oh, that was really good. I saw, Vic, I'm so impressed with you. I saw how you and the guys at MGF have started 14 or 15 businesses. I saw on Tuesday when you sent that money to Manapur, and all those guys were getting fed. Oh, I'm so impressed with you. That's fantastic. Guys, have a bit of grace. That's not the way it works. We receive from him, and because of that, we're looking for good works to do. So I'm not saying don't work. I'm just saying don't work. But it's what you're working for. Don't work to receive. Work out of your receiving. That's what I'm saying. The order. It doesn't say, well, if you give, if you work hard, then I will let you receive. But that's what religion says. That's what religion will tell you. God's not blessing you. God's not blessing you. Now, some churches will not explicitly say this, but this is what they're implying. You're sick, you're poor. Well, there must be something in your life. If you repent, you turn from your wicked ways, if you blah, 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 then God will bless you. But that's written in the Old Covenant book. Yeah, that's written in the Old Covenant. Exactly. Well said. Well spotted. But that's what religion will tell you. See, religion has got everything round the wrong way. That's one of the great ways to spot religion. Is it round the wrong way from the New Testament? Or round the wrong way from the New Covenant, I should say. Round the wrong way from Acts and Epistles on. Is it round the wrong way? Because it's always a different direction than what God intended. That's the way to spot religion. It's round the wrong way. Want me to tell you why it's round the wrong way? Because it's come from the devil. Religion's from the devil. I've said that many times. Now it's coming, it's been taught, it's coming from the hearts of good, honest, faithful Christian men and women. Absolutely. Not false teachers, but in my opinion, teaching falsely. But it's so ingrained in our churches today, but it's from the devil. And you might think, whoa, is fasting, is praying, is tithing, is doing good works from the devil? It is if you're doing it to try and receive from God and be a good person. That it's not of God. Now, those things are godly and good, but you got to be doing them for the right reasons. I'm not explaining myself well. I'll move on. Anyway, it's round the wrong way. Because religion is not of God. In terms of receiving the goodness of God under the new covenant, post-cross, there is no work required. Absolutely no work required. The new covenant scriptures cover this many times. We're talking about salvation, righteousness, justification, healing, abundance. How do we receive? Not by works. By faith. And there are so many verses that talk about that. I'll just cover a few. You know them all. Romans 3:28. I mean, I'm so thankful I've got this underlined. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We don't need to look at the Greek. The Strong's, we don't need to look at anything. This is just good, clear, and good old King James English. I mean, how? You cannot justify yourself through works. It just says it there. The only way to be justified, in the eyes of God, just as if you'd never sinned, is by faith. We looked at Romans 9:30. To Romans 10:4 last week, I'm not going to read it out, but it was all about how the zealous Jews weren't righteous through their works, but the non-zealous heathen Galatians were righteous by faith. The Gentiles weren't going about doing works of the law, yet they were made righteous, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we quite often say, you read Romans 9 and Romans 10, and you quite often hear people saying, Jesus is a stumbling stone. Jesus isn't the stumbling stone. Jesus as your righteousness is the stumbling stone. That's the thing that ticked off the Jews and ticked off the religious and the zealots and the Pharisees. That it wasn't your works that made you righteous. It was trusting in Jesus as your righteousness. That's the stumbling stone. That what Jesus has done and your faith in that, that's enough to be accepted in the eyes of God. I mean, I do agree with the Pharisees and the zealots and all that. That's just not fair. You know, I'm doing all the works. I'm doing all the works, God. I'm doing so much. And I'm so good. I'm so much better than him. And you're telling me he's righteous? He slaps his wife and kicks the dog. Yeah, but he's got faith in Jesus. He doesn't tithe, but he's got faith in Jesus. He doesn't help with all wipings across when the camels are coming down. No. They didn't have roads in them days. But he's righteous because he's got faith in Jesus. I mean, how unfair is that? For me, I think that is fair, because everyone's in the same level playing field. I'm so glad it's like that, because I don't have to trust in my goodness, because I trust in his goodness. And I tell you what, guys, he is infinitely better than me. Even me, Pauline, infinitely better than me. Hallelujah. They sat down and they received. It's wonderful. No work, no effort in order to receive this abundant provision that was being laid on for them. Just, that's a revelation about ending religion, if ever there was one. And I don't know about you guys, but this is just floating my boat. Absolutely loving it. Let me ask you some questions that popped in my head this morning. Not looking for an answer. Rhetorical question. Hallelujah. What did Jesus do when he ascended into heaven after his work was finished? After he had been scourged, after he'd been crucified, after he went to the grave, after he rose again and ascended, after he had finished his perfectly perfect finished work, what did he do? Sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why did he sit down? Because his work was finished. Did he have coffee? He might have. I would. When I finish my work, I sit down and have a coffee. Yeah, Jesus might have had a coffee. Maybe God had a cafeteria ready for him. Why did he sit down? Because his work was finished. I love that picture. Sat down because he'd no more work to do. And he was perfect. He was the best. His finished work was perfectly perfect. What can you do to make that better? What can we do to make that better? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Zippo. Folks, their work, not just our work, their work is finished. There's no more work to do. In terms of being accepted by God, receiving from God. Yes, there are works to do. There's so many works to do out there. I mean, we are focused on India and whatever. There's so much to do over there, good works to do. But the work is finished. I mean, I wish I was inclined to write. There's a book in this about the Gospel of John and ending religion. It's amazing. His work was finished, so he sat down. Let's go back to the account on the mountain where Jesus is there with all these thousands of people. In terms of them being fed, in terms of them having their needs met, the people had no work to do. Jesus told them to sit down. Why did he tell them to sit down? Because he'd done the necessary work. Sit down and receive what I have provided. That's what he said then. And that's what he's saying now. Sit down. Oh, he wouldn't say it like that, actually. Sit down. That was a bit aggressive, wasn't it? So I'm getting carried away. Sit down and receive what I have provided. That's what he's telling them then. That's what he's telling us today. That's what he's telling anyone. Could be health. Could be healing. Sit down and receive. I have made the provision. It could be a lack you have in terms of finances or resources. Sit down and receive. He's saying, I've provided it. Not feeling accepted? Got low self-worth? Sit down and receive. I've provided that. I'm in you. How more worthy do you want to be? I love you. How more worthy do you want to be? I think you're great. I think you can do all things. I think you're perfectly suited for this work I've anointed and appointed you for. How more worthy do you want to be? For people lost in the world. Of course, this is about salvation and righteousness. Today, he's still saying, sit down and receive what I've provided. Cease from your striving. Cease from your own efforts. Stop working for what you need from me, is what he's saying. Just sit down and receive. I have provided it, is what Jesus is saying, through my efforts, through my work. And that was perfect. Folks, we can't improve on what Jesus has done. We can't make it better. There was nothing you did, Carl, that Jesus forgot about on the cross. Perfectly perfect finished work. I was going to say perfect memory. Well, it is because he's out of time, so it probably is memory. Never mind. Or was he looking forward? He didn't miss anything. You know, all sin, all sickness, all rejection, all depression, all poverty, all lack, all low self-worth, all the crud. Don't forget any of it. Sit down and receive. Church, that's what Jesus is saying to us right now. What did he say to the guys? He said, where is it? There it is. He said, make the men sit down. Now, you guys know I love the Greek. So there's two words for men here in that verse. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. This is where the English doesn't quite cut it. That, so the men sat down in number 5,000 is the word aner, means man, husband, fellow. Man. But where it says, make the men sit down, the word for men there is anthropos. That's the Greek for humanity. Mankind. See, the Greek is, it's just awesome. He's saying to the church, make human beings sit down and get them to receive. That's what he's saying to us today. Make human beings sit down. Make mankind sit down. Make men, make people, make boys and girls, make man, woman, sit down and receive. Tell them to just rest in me and receive from me. Amen. That's what Jesus is saying to us today. Faith in Jesus is the only way to salvation and righteousness. Yes, we saw that in the sermon last week, didn't we? The only way. Faith in Jesus is the only way to receive all the rest that he's provided that comes in what we call the sozo package. You know, if we believe we've been saved and made righteous, we also ought to believe we've been made prosperous, accepted, whole, healed, adopted. Because that all comes in this word, sozo. It's all been provided. Faith in Jesus is the only way to receive all the rest that he provided, included in our righteousness and our ticket into heaven. Healing, wholeness, joy, peace, prosperity, abundance, acceptance, good mental health. Stuck that in there for me to remind me after the week I've had. It's only him. Sean, I too have missed my scriptures this week and not been in a good place, man. It's only him that provides all that. No works, no personal effort. Listen to this, no religious practices. Now, I'm not telling you to stop. If you tithe, what you do, great. I'd love to see you give us 15%, but never mind. You know, I'm not against that. I'm not against you praying. Well, it's a religious practice, Vic. I'm not against you praying. I'm not against you doing good works. Tithe, whatever it is. But not to receive. Not to think I need to do this because God wants it. Just let me ask you, of all the good things that God wants you to do and to have, what's the top two? Prosperity and health. Above all things, I want you to live in health and prosperity. He doesn't say, 3 John 2. He doesn't say, above all things, I want you to tithe. Above all things, I want you to pray. Above all things, I want you to put the chairs away at the end of the service. I'm so thankful that you do that. Hallelujah. I love that good work. But don't do it thinking, oh, God's looking at me and I'm going to be good. No. Think, oh, I'm helping the pastor. Lovely. That's allowed. Don't do things to receive from God. That's illogical as well. He's already given you everything you need. Oh, Nancy, please give me my Bible. Can you please? please, 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 rent my clothes. Just give me my Bible. Rent the heavens open and pass me down my Bible, God. I've already got it. It's kind of what I'm getting at, Grant. We don't need to ask for things we already have. No works, no personal efforts, no religious practices. Jesus came to end religion and brought relationship instead. Yeah? Well, this is why I said we're going to wait and pray at the end. Are you in need this morning? Sit down and receive. And the church is going to distribute his goodness. Amen. Guys, I'm going to pray just now and include you in this. And then we're going to go offline and have a time of prayer. So I just suggest you have a time of prayer yourselves. If you haven't had communion yet, take communion. But just join us in prayer as we finish. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for this message. I thank you for the picture that we can see. I can see the people, humankind, men, women, boys and girls, sitting on that mountainside and on that grass, receiving from the disciples what Jesus had provided. No effort, no striving, no works required. Just an expectation, a faith that they were going to receive. I just speak out that same expectation this morning, that we all have an expectation to receive from the Lord. No work, no effort. Receiving because of faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I thank you and I praise you for this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I finish, before I pray, Grant kind of intimated something that they had to be there. I missed a big paragraph off my sermon because I was getting so excited and went on to another one. But all the people had to do was obey, sit down, in a sense, have faith that the food was coming. Yeah? So we need faith. We need to be there in the first place. So we need to be in a place where we can receive from God, and a great place to be in, to have expectation and to receive from God is with your saints in the local church. Amen. Hallelujah. They sat down, these people sat down in faith, expecting to be fed. It's like Nancy. Every night she comes home from work, she sits down at the table in faith, expecting to be fed. And she is. That's what these people are doing. We need to get into that mindset. The mindset that we don't need to work, we don't need to strive to be given what we need from God because he's already provided it. Jesus has provided all we need. Now, we use multiple metaphors for that, don't we? We can see it on the table and we go and take it off. Here's another one. Sit and let your fellow disciples pray in agreement with you and dish out the goodness that Jesus has already provided. That's the mindset. I am in need. He's already provided. Okay. How do I get it? Take it off the table. Sit down and receive. There's another one you can picture. So I want to do that now. Nunzi mentioned at the start of our sermon, start of the service, that you know, we're a small group, intimate, trust each other. So we should be praying for each other. And that's right. But let's use this model. If you need to receive from the Lord this morning, something that he has provided for you, and we know that it's everything apart from persecution. Yeah. You can't come up here and say, I don't want to be persecuted. We can't pray for that. He didn't provide for that. Let's pray for each other. If we need more than one chair, just, you know, you cannot, you don't need it to be the super duper pastor to pray for you, although you've got one. You know, it can, you know, every single one of us is filled with the Holy Spirit, has got the presence of the living God inside us, and can pray a prayer of agreement with your brother and sister. We can all do that. We've all got the same power as each other. So let's spend some time at the end here praying. I'm going to switch off now. Great to see you folks. We'll see you next week. Bless you. Thanks for joining.